Welcome to a new episode of the Apostolic and Prophetic Podcast. Today is Sunday, the 18th of June, and we want to continue with our series about faithfulness in small things or faithfulness in finances, because Jesus said in Luke chapter 16, "He who is faithful in what is least is faithful also in much, and he who is unjust in what is least is unjust also in much. Therefore, if you have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit to your trust the true riches?" Okay, so God wants to give us the true riches, and he is testing us how we deal with the things of this world, how we deal with our money. And today I would like to talk about saving, because this is also a very important topic. And sometimes we think, okay, God is not interested in Christians or believers to save, because the first believers, the first church, they sold everything, they were having everything together or distributed everything to the poor. And then we think, okay, this is actually what God wants also for us. And it can be that at a certain point God is telling you to give what you have or parts of what you have or even a lot of what you have to other people. It happened in my life. I will not go into detail now in this, but I was also at a certain point giving away actually almost everything what I had. And but in general, I have savings also now. And for many years I didn't have savings because I was living from paycheck to paycheck. But it's not just from living from paycheck to paycheck or how big is your income or your salary, but it's also your attitude. Do you spend everything? We were speaking already about that topic, about spending, about accepting when God says no to certain things, what you want to buy maybe, about debt. But also it is important to have a mindset also of saving. God wants you to save. And I would like to read a few scriptures about this. And it's in Matthew chapter 6, verse 19 to 21. And this is in the Sermon of the Mount. There Jesus was saying, "Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." Hallelujah. So if you're reading this, then you're thinking, okay, maybe God is totally against saving in general, because he said it. Jesus was saying we should not store up treasures because it's distracting you, and it's distracting you, you could say, in your heart, because he said where your treasure is, there your heart will be. But there's also another scripture, and there are many scriptures, but I will just single out one, and this is in Psalm 112, verse 3. Or I will start to read from verse 1. "Blessed," or "praise the Lord. Blessed is the man who fears the Lord," or who fears Yahweh, "who delights greatly in his commandments. His descendants will be mighty on earth. The generation of the upright will be blessed." Verse 3. "Wealth and riches will be in his house, and his righteousness endures forever." Hallelujah. So how these two scriptures are going together? And I mean, I could read still other scriptures where God was blessing people also materially, and they had also a lot of reserves or savings, like Job, Abraham, Jacob, Isaac, and so on and so forth. But how this goes together with what Jesus was saying? Is it not a contradiction? Or maybe you could say, okay, this is the New Testament. Jesus is establishing something new. He also said in the Sermon of the Mount, it was said to you, you shall not commit adultery. But I tell you, if you look lustfully to a woman, you have already committed adultery in your heart with her. So that Jesus is bringing something new. And yes, Jesus is bringing something new. But what he is actually bringing new is that the law is not anymore outside, not anymore written in tablets of stone, but by the Holy Spirit, he is writing his law onto your heart, in your heart. And the thing is that God is not against savings. And this is what we will read now. It's also in Luke chapter 16, and it's the parable of the rich young man. And there we will see that the main thing what Jesus is concerned about is what is in your heart. Okay, it's not in chapter 16, it's in chapter Luke chapter 18, and from verse 18. And this is, you can also find this in Matthew and in Mark, in a little bit different modified version. Now a certain ruler asked him, saying, "Good teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" So Jesus said to him, "Why do you call me good? No one is good but one, that is God. You know the commandments. Do not commit adultery, do not murder, do not steal, do not bear false witness. Honor your father and your mother." So he's telling him basically the commandments, the Ten Commandments. And he said, "All these things I have kept from my youth." So when Jesus heard these things, he said to him, "You still lack one thing. Sell all that you have and distribute to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come follow me." But when he heard this, he became very sorrowful, for he was very rich. Okay, let's stop here for a moment. So here you can see exactly the proof of the scripture we just read before from Psalm. In Psalm 112, it was written that blessed is the man who fears the Lord, who delights greatly in his commandments. So he was saying, actually, I did all these commandments from my youth. And how he could do it? Because he was delighting in them. He wanted to do them. Even from his youth, he said, because some people, they do in their youth stupid things, and then later on, they start to come back to God when they have problems, and then they regret the sins of their youth. For me, for example, me, I did a lot of bad things when I didn't know God. In my youth, you could say, but this guy was different. This guy was not even doing stupid things in his youth. He was keeping God's commandments all the time. And why? Because he delighted in them. And that's why God blessed him. God blessed him, like he was saying in Psalm 112, verse 3, "Wealth and riches will be in his house." Hallelujah. So basically, in verse 23, I read again, "But when he heard this, he became very sorrowful, for he was very rich." So he was already blessed from God because he was keeping God's commandments. But Jesus was looking beyond that in his heart. And there was something, and this we will find out a little bit later now when we continue to read, why he said he was lacking something. And this was not how it looks in the beginning, that he had to give away all his riches, his savings, and that God was, or Jesus was against what he had or what people have in general. So in verse 24, "And when Jesus saw that he became very sorrowful, he said, 'How hard it is for those who have riches to enter the kingdom of God. For it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God.' And those who heard it said, 'Who then can be saved?' But he said, the things which are impossible with men are possible with God. So some people could argue now, Jesus is against, people having things. People, even God is against rich. And this was transported from generation to generation through the Catholic Church and the monks and their vows to stay in poverty. And also how if you go to old churches, Protestant or Catholic churches, and you look at the painted windows, you see all the apostles and the, you could say, yes, all the holy people, they look always like old, poor men, or without shoes, barefoot, and all these kind of things. And this is this image which is preached, and also through the Christmas story, that believers need to be poor. But this is actually not what Jesus wanted to say here. And because he continues now, Peter is shocked, yes, verse 28. Then Peter said, see, we have left all and followed you. So he was saying, we did it. We were putting aside everything what we had in this world to follow you, to follow Jesus. Verse 29. So he said to them, assuredly, or surely I say to you, there is no one who has left house or parents or brothers, or wife, or children, for the sake of the kingdom of God, who shall not receive many times more in this present time and in the age to come eternal life. And in Matthew chapter 19, there's the same scripture, and there's written a little bit different. And everyone who has left houses, or brothers, or sisters, or father, or mother, or wife, or children, or lands, for my name's sake, shall receive 100-fold and inherit eternal life. And in Mark 10:29, so Jesus answered and said, assuredly or surely I say to you, there is no one who has left house or brothers or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my sake and the gospel's who shall not receive 100-fold now in this time, houses and brothers and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecutions and in the age to come eternal life. Hallelujah. So here we see in three scriptures in the gospel that Jesus is saying you shall receive many, many times what you have given up for God in this time, in this life already. It's not everything just about the future, and eternal life in the age to come. So now, with having said this, you could ask why he didn't say this to this young man before, or to this rich man. Yes, and this shows actually that Jesus is not against people having things, having savings, having riches, whatever. But because this is not the main thing, this is not the most important thing, but it's about what is in your heart. And if he would say to this young man, okay, give up everything what you have and give it to the poor and you will get it back 100 times here in this time and eternal life, this young man would say, okay, where shall I sign the contract? Immediately he would do it. But Jesus was not telling him, because he was testing him and testing his heart. Because you cannot serve two masters, God said. You cannot serve the things of this world. You cannot serve God at the same time and money. So he was testing his heart, where his treasure is. Is it in this world or is it with Jesus? Is it in this world or is it with God? Is it in this world or is it with the eternal things? And the thing is that this young man, he actually, by saying no to Jesus and going sadly away, he was actually saying, even it's not written there, but he was actually saying with this, I don't trust you, Jesus, that you can provide for me. And this is actually the thing, because if he would, he would say, okay, I'll give everything away and follow you. But he was actually not trusting Jesus, not believing that Jesus is able to provide for him. And that's why also you can see in the whole Bible, Jesus met a lot of people and he didn't say to everyone the same thing. Jesus was not going from village to village and saying for every person who had something, give away everything what you have to the poor. No, he knew exactly always for every person he met what was the thing, what stood between him, or you could say between the Father and that person. And in this young man's life, it was his riches, and not his riches in general, but that he was holding fast in his heart to these riches. And one more scripture I would like to read at the end. So it's basically about your heart attitude. It's your heart attitude towards material things. If they are standing between you and God, then you need to get rid of things. You need to give away things. And God will bring you in situations, and he did for me also. He one time told me, and at that time I was not having a lot of money. I was living from paycheck to paycheck. I was not going on any holiday. It was a nightmare when I had to repair my car. I said this already. But he told me to give away my car as a gift to someone in the church, a young guy who just became 18, and he just made his driver's license, and he needed a car. So God told me to give away this car to him. And it was in the beginning really a struggle. I didn't want to do it because I liked this car, and I also had invested quite some money to repair it. So, and then God told me to give this car for him. And it was a used car, old car. But when I gave it to him, after I was obedient and I did, my father was giving me for the new car, which I wanted to buy, actually the double amount as a gift, I would have gotten for this car if I went to a car dealer, because they are buying usually the cars very cheap, and they don't give you a lot of money for your car because they want to sell it at a profit. So basically, I was trusting God, and then after I was obedient, God was exactly doing what Jesus was saying here. Yes? You will receive in this world, yes, multiple of what you were giving to God, to the kingdom of God. So I want to read the last verse. It's in 1 Chronicles chapter 22. And it's about King David, and he wanted to build a temple for the Lord, but God didn't allow him. So God told him that his son will do this. So what was David actually doing? He was storing up treasures. He was storing up things and wealth for that task, for the kingdom of God, for the next generation. And in verse 3, and David prepared iron in abundance for the nails of the doors of the gates and for the joints, and bronze in abundance beyond measure, and cedar trees in abundance. For the Sidonians and those from Tyre brought much cedar wood to David. Now David said, Solomon, my son, is young and inexperienced, and the house to be built for the Lord must be exceedingly magnificent, famous and glorious throughout all countries. I will now make preparations for it. So David made abundant preparations before his death. Can you imagine? So this is not piling up treasures on earth. This is actually providing for the kingdom of God. And if you see also when there was this famine in the times of Joseph, Jacob was sending his children, to Egypt to buy grain. Why? How they could do this? He was giving them money. He was giving them gold and silver, all things he had saved. So he also had enough savings to go through that famine because he knew they will not give them for free things. So when they go to Egypt, so God is not against savings. Actually, the other way around. God will give us, if we obey him, abundantly, that we can also put aside things, that we can also reserve resources for bad times, for difficult times, or also for building the kingdom of God. But the most important is that we never ever put our trust in these things and let these things rule over our hearts, because God wants to be in our hearts the number one, and he will provide everything, whatever we need, if we trust him, obey him, and follow him. So I wish you a nice week. May God bless you, guide you, and protect you, and hear you next time. And if this podcast is speaking to you, please share it with others, with your friends, with people from your church, and that they can also be blessed and receive something from this. Shalom. Amen.